This is 1A. I'm Joshua Johnson in Washington. In some ways, the music of Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Lila Downs tells America's immigration story, especially from the past few decades. Downs is the daughter of a Scottish-American man who taught at a Minnesota university. Her mother is an indigenous Mexican woman from Oaxaca. Growing up in Minnesota and Mexico, Downs had to make sense of the very different cultures that made up her world. She did that through music, drawing from all her life experiences, part celebration, part protest. Her newest album is called Al Chile, and she joins us now in studio. Lila Downs, welcome to 1A.
Thank you so much.
I want to get into more of your story in just a moment, but let's start with some of your music and your latest album, Al Chile. What's the concept behind Al Chile?
Well, Al Chile means to say things directly, to the point, quickly. It's something that I always strive for. Since I am an anthropologist as well, it sometimes is difficult for me to be that way. But thankfully, I have music. And through music, I have been able to get to the point and tell stories about indigenous cultures, which concerns me principally, to tell this story in the U.S., because I think in the U.S. we have so much ignorance about who the Mexican people are or who the Nicaraguans or Salvadorans are, and how we descend from Native American groups.
Well, no one wants to hear my voice more than they want to hear your music. And I think the more that we play your music, the less they'll want to hear my voice. So let's dive in with one track from Lila Downs' new album, Al Chile. This is Clandestino. That's Clandestino from the new album Al Chile by Lila Downs. Tell us about what Clandestino is about.
Yes, it's about being clandestine, about being illegal. Some of the lyrics say, my woes, I am on my way, I am condemned, on my way to Babylon, to the great Babylon. I am treated as a ghost in the city, and my life is illegal, according to the authorities. And I think to feel this way is a very difficult thing. And so 20 years ago, I wrote some songs and did an album called Border, La Línea. And 20 years later, I am interpreting this piece that Manu Chao wrote 20 years ago. So this theme has been very important in my lifetime. Always been trying to bring people together through music. And I am in every album that we do, and I think it's been almost 20 albums, try to bring people together through themes that speak about this reality.
Now, what do you mean when you say Perdida en el corazón de la grande Babilón? Mm-hmm. What's the big Babylon? What are you talking about there?
Well, in my interpretation, of course, these are lyrics by Manu Chao, but it's about going to this place that everyone believes is the answer to our life. And I think that that's why so many people come to this country to find freedom and to find a dream and you know, a reaction to what is happening so violently in their countries of origin. In Mexico right now, there are people coming from the Congo, and I have some other anthropologist friends who are in these areas on the border. And this is a very different situation than it was 20 years ago. And addressing it, I think, in every way possible is very important, especially through art.
There's something about this idea of not just doing something clandestine, but being something clandestine. Later on in that clip, we heard you sing Peruano, clandestino, hondureño, clandestino, mexicana, clandestina. Mm-hmm. This idea of being a clandestine person rather than doing a clandestine thing. That's got some weight too, I assume.
It does. For me, I think that it's about not being legitimate. And I think that is this whole issue that I relate to in a spiritual level, because if you are not a person, you're going to be treated the way that people are being treated at the detention centers today, below being human. And what does that mean? This is a very hurtful thing for the history of the U.S., I believe.
Let's talk a little bit more about your background. I'm curious to know what your upbringing was like being the daughter of a Scottish-American university professor and an indigenous Mexican mother. What was that like?
It was confusing. Very confusing.
Confusing how?
Well, I guess that when I was with my brown-skinned mama, we would cross the border, go back and forth, because he was teaching at the University of Minnesota, teaching film and art, and they would put my mother and I in the little room and check us out. And yet, when I traveled with my father, or when I went into a restaurant with my father, everything ran smoothly. So these are the differences that I learned to observe, and it angered me, and of course, motivated me to compose songs about these realities, and at the same time to look for music that brings out the spirit of strength, I think, which is something that is difficult to find when you feel that you are not taken serious as a person.
Now, Oaxaca is kind of central southern Mexico. It's south of Mexico City. It's closer to Guatemala than to the U.S.-Mexico border.
That's right.
So you come from two different places that are quite distant. I mean, it's not like you were from, you know, Ciudad Juarez or Tijuana or like some place that's right on the U.S. border. How did that affect your relationship with the U.S., with American culture?
Right. Well, I think, first of all, the indigenous communities in the South are rooted in, an archaic and ancient cultures, and we have the archaeological ruins that connect us to this past. So that makes it quite different, and we kind of long for this greatness in our past. But at the same time, we are very hard workers. We are mountain people. And we also are very curious about other places in the world, just like human nature, I guess. But I think for me, it was a very beautiful challenge to try and bridge those worlds, and very challenging as well. You know, there are many cultures, Zapotec, Mixtec, Huave, different cultures that are connected to the Mayan area as well, which is in Guatemala.
And your mother was Mixtec, am I?
My mother is Mixtec, yes.
Tell us about the Mixtec people.
Yes, the Mixtec are actually one of the very well-known peoples whose manuscripts have survived the Spanish Inquisition. And therefore, we know a lot about our spirituality, the music a bit, culture and history through these manuscripts. And we did some music based on these manuscripts a long time ago called the Tree of Life, because according to our people, we were born from the trees. And the Zapotec and the Mixtec are two of the largest indigenous groups in the state of Oaxaca. We have 16 different languages and indigenous groups in this state. And we have a beautiful folk festival that just happened a few weeks ago in Oaxaca that celebrate our indigenous groups. In Mexico, of course, we have 69 Native American languages that are very much alive today. And, you know, the Mayan and the Nahuatl, or the Aztec descendants, speak, you know, their languages, millions of them speak this language today.
I want to talk more about that relationship between indigenous groups and Mexican culture more broadly, because there's some friction there, including some of your background. You talked about how you've kind of struggled to integrate your mother's culture. I want to talk more about that when we continue our conversation with Lila Downs. Clearly, you've got some fans listening. Carmen San Diego, which is the best Twitter handle ever. Carmen San Diego writes on Twitter, "Lila Downs is such an inspiration. I love her music so much. Thanks for this treat."
Thank you so much.
We'll be playing lots of her music. This is another track from Al Chile called Son del Chile Frito. We will get to more of your questions and stories in just a moment. I'm Joshua Johnson. It's un placer to be with you, and we are listening to 1A from WAMU and NPR.
Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from BetterHelp. BetterHelp offers licensed professional counselors who specialize in issues such as depression, stress, anxiety, and more. Connect with your professional counselor in a safe and private online environment at your convenience. Get help at your own time and your own pace. Schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus chat and text with your therapist. Visit betterhelp.com/1A to learn more and get 10% off your first month.
There's a multivitamin that can make our lives instantly better. All we need to get its benefits is to step outside.
Nature and parks and greenery helps us be our better selves.
The miracle of vitamin N in the latest episode of our U 2.0 series on Hidden Brain from NPR.
This is 1A. I'm Joshua Johnson. We're speaking with Grammy-winning singer-songwriter Lila Downs. Her folk fusion music celebrates her Oaxacan Mexican heritage and indigenous peoples everywhere. Before we play another song from Al Chile, let me get back to the story of your background. You said that by the time your father died, when you were 16, you had begun rejecting your mother's culture, but she kind of brought you back to it. Talk about that. What was it about her culture that you rejected?
Yes, I rejected it in myself. And I think this happens a lot with Mexican-American experience in the U.S. And also in Mexico, because I was bicultural, as I explained before. In Mexico, we are also rejected because of our indigenous roots. We try to deny our black hair and our dark skin. We try to be as white as we can. And so I really did, at one point, just break down and figure that I needed to discover my roots. I rejected my indigenous past. My mother and my grandmother always spoke to each other in Mixtec. And so that was also an issue in my school, in my elementary school. The kids rejected me for being the hija de la India and also la hija del Yankee. So it was, you know, Mexico has a very love-hate relationship with the U.S. as well.
So kind of a daughter of the natives, daughter of the Indians, and the daughter of the Yankees.
Of the enemy, exactly.
Of the enemy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we should be clear, Mixtec and Spanish, those don't sound alike. It's not like if you speak one, you can understand the other.
That's right. Within the discrimination and not allowing indigenous peoples to survive, the Spanish and the English, of course, prohibited people to speak their languages. So one of the notions is that the Native American languages are dialects, and they are not dialects. They are languages of their own, and they exist and have survived.
Before we play one more track from the album, with regards to your cultural reclamation, do you feel like in making the decision to really embrace your Mexican, your Oaxacan, your indigenous culture, that there was anything you had to kind of make peace with putting down, giving up, walking away from as you were walking towards something else?
Of course, yeah. I feel like I did stop performing and writing songs in English maybe in the past 10 years, kind of gave up a little bit on this side of the border. But, you know, it's always important to come and translate. And I think that I will continue to do that and fight for the information that is important, and especially when it's in poetic ways, you know, because I think that that translates much better.
You did work with one of this country's more well-known English language artists, Nora Jones, with a collaboration on Al Chile. I'd like to know more about what that collaboration was like after we play this track. Here are Lila Downs and Nora Jones with Dear Someone.
All over the world in style.
With Nora Jones singing Dear Someone. Talk about that song. Where'd that come from?
Well, basically, Nora decided that we would do this piece. She mentioned to us that she had a friend in college, a Mexican friend who had been going through some personal issues. I believe she was gay and her family was against her sexuality. And so she ended up committed suicide. And it was a difficult issue. So Nora decided that she wanted to do this piece, and I loved it. I love the message.
Mm-hmm. Let's get to a different kind of music that I guess some people would refer to it as like protest music and like protest artists. How does that term strike you in terms of doing socially conscious music, especially because there's so much to be socially conscious about right now?
Right, yeah. Well, I guess it makes me smile because I think of the 60s and 70s and a time when, you know, there was a wave of protest music. And I really ascribe to that. I think that I fell in love with that period because I felt like, you know, things were, a lot of issues were being dealt with. So I have inherited that. Of course, in Latin America, we have a very strong tradition of protest music as well. Mercedes Sosa, Silvio Rodriguez, Pablo Milanés, you know, the Cuban singer-songwriters. And I decided at one point, again, to either be just a singer or be a singer with meaning.
Now, the meaning of this song before we play it, this is a fairly recent track that is pretty pertinent to today's politics.
It is. It was right before the elections with President Trump. And I remember discussing with my husband about whether he would win or not. And I definitely thought that he would. And a lot of people were so optimistic and thought that he wouldn't. So this song was kind of about what I was feeling at the time.
Well, then let's hear that song. This is called The Demagogue.
He plays us with his hate, turns man against man, but it's really not a game. And I pray to the ancestors' love to not be fooled by this man's foolish talk. The serpent woke again in different times and places. There's a burning cross leading the mob, people in chains. He's a quack, circus act, creeping from the past. He's the symbol of the monster we no longer want to be. What we used to be. The earth trembles with these names. Mussolini, Adolf Hitler, Pinochet. No respect for woman, no respect for race. No respect for anything that lives, the human race. But he can.
The Demagogue, Lila, I imagine that you got a pretty intense response to The Demagogue, especially because it mentions Hitler and Pinochet and Mussolini.
Yeah.
And this was before the election.
This was before the election, exactly. Yeah. And, I guess there isn't much else to say.
that's just it. So when you put this kind of music out there, is the goal to get people... to reach people who agree with you, to kind of reflect their thoughts back? Is it to reach people who disagree? Like, what's your aim when you put out these kinds of songs?
Right, yeah. Well, actually, we were invited to do a concert at the border at this point, and I thought, I'm going to write a song about it. You know, the border has been such a major theme throughout my life. And I felt very strongly about all the things that he represents and the things that he likes to push in people's lives. And so I was very upset.
We'll continue our conversation with Lila Downs in just a moment as we pause with the song La Línea from her 2001 album Border. Monica emailed, I'm also Mexican-American, have lived in the U.S. for most of my life, and I have felt that bicultural tension that Lila describes. Lila's work has been a lifeline for me. Because of her, I was inspired to travel to Chiapas and Oaxaca to learn about a different Mexico than the one I was used to seeing. We'll continue our conversation with Lila Downs and get to more of your comments in just a moment. Stay close.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the Walton Family Foundation, where opportunity takes root. More information is available at waltonfamilyfoundation.org.
Hey there, it's Joshua. Thanks for listening to the 1A podcast. Please take a moment to subscribe and leave us a rating. That helps other people find the show. And don't forget, you can catch the news roundup at the end of every week.
The world is complicated. But knowing the past can help us understand it so much better.
That's where we come in. I'm Rand Abdel Fattah.
I'm Ramtin Arablouei, and we're the hosts of Throughline, NPR's history podcast.
Every week, we'll dig into forgotten stories from the moments that shaped our world.
Throughline from NPR. Listen and subscribe now.
Back now to our conversation with singer-songwriter Lila Downs. Her latest album is called Al Chile. We took a break with the song Demagogue, and I'm interested to know your thoughts about where music, art, culture stand today in terms of our debates over immigration, over the border, over some of the racial hatred that has sprung up. You know, one of the first things that happened in El Paso after the shooting at the Walmart there was a protest event, but you couldn't help noticing there was a lot of music in the background. There were a lot of artists who were kind of integral to that whole conversation.
Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, definitely music has this amazing healing quality. And I'm just so grateful to be a part of it. And I don't think that I appreciated it enough for what it is, for the magic that can happen with music. So if we can do more concerts at the border, about the border, that enable and teach people about what is happening, I think it would really help things.
Do you have a sense that things like the shooting in El Paso affect folks in Oaxaca, elsewhere in Mexico? What's the ripple effect been like?
Yeah, well, I have been. We were just at a concert in New York City at Central Park, and people were talking about it, and people who had relatives down there. We have an accordionist who is from actually that area. And, you know, everyone is really afraid of what may continue to happen.
Let me play a clip from your 2008 album, Shake Away. This is called Minimum Wage.
They've been working in this country, picking letters, washing floors. Story of a lifetime for the minimum wage. Well, they raise me to $8, cause I wash the dishes fast. Well, the boss, he got me working on the porch and in the bed. Then I wash the dish and rinse it. Then I go home late and sleep. Well, I need to be awake now, cause I walk out in my sleep. When I see that black van coming, well, I know I'm sure to run. God damn, the major caught me. Caught me on the spot. Cause minimum wage.
Minimum Wage from her 2008 album, Shake Away. How did you find your voice, literally your voice, figure out what register you're best in, what tone you're best in? There are moments when you're very lilting and moments where you're very husky. And like, how do you find those sweet spots?
Oh, my. Well, I'm still looking.
You found a few. You found one or two at least, I think.
Yeah. Sometimes it's kind of a blessing, and it's not so much of a blessing to be able to sing all kinds of stuff. And you just kind of have to, I guess that I decided more about the message that I was conveying rather than finding the middle of the voice. And I think I'm going to be working on that in the next two albums. Yeah.
Speaking of that voice, could I ask you to sing something for us? You performed a song called Los Caminos de la Vida. Your mother translated it into Mixtec. Before you sing a little piece, could you just tell us about it?
Yeah, this is a beautiful Colombian piece, Vallenato. And, you know, Mexico, as well as many other Latin American countries, have adopted the cumbia. The cumbia is central to a way of dance and also of telling stories. So this is a song that's about appreciating our parents and thanking them because of the surprises in the path of life. Y chicanu iotauyo, tu jininajasuayo, tu jukun inina, bina te ni hinina. Ichikanu iotau yo, tu hinina hasua yo. Jisha kentayo, jisha kwayo. Los caminos de la vida.
And what does that mean?
The paths of life are not at all what I thought they would be. They are a surprise, and I am humbled by the lessons of life.
Stop reading my mind. Why are you surveilling me, Leela Downs? I don't appreciate that a bit. I do not appreciate you killing me softly with your song. One more song I'd like to get to, and it's called La Llorona. Tell us about, first of all, explain what La Llorona is. It's a well-known legend.
Then
tell us about the song.
Yeah. Well, she is a spiritual force in all of us. And I think she's also this representation of death. But at the same time, she is the seductress. So in the recent versions in my village, people would say that at the end of a dance, you know, we have these fiestas, and around 3 a.m, if you were in kind of a lonely place where there's no one else around, you would see this beautiful woman with the long black hair. And in recent versions, she's wearing a miniskirt and high heels.
Because times change.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Gotta adapt. The ghosts adapt. So she would call you and call you, and you walk towards her, but you feel like you're not really advancing. By the end of the night, you are with her, and a few weeks later, this person who ends up following her appears with the life sucked out of them. So she represents different. Scary things, but at the same time, love and life.
All right, before we go, let's get to one more song. This is La Llorona. By Leela Downs. Before we got to let you go, tell us a little bit about what's next for you. Where are you going from here? Your next project? What's on the horizon for you?
Well, we are going back to Mexico after this concert in D.C., and we will be doing a number of concerts that have to do with the Day of the Dead. We have a great tradition, of course, in Mexico of doing the altars. And this time around, we're going to be doing a series of concerts on both sides of the border, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, California, and also in Mexico, in different states.
Leela, it has been a pleasure. Thanks for spending the hour with us.
Thank you for having me.
As we close with a new track, La Cariñito, from the album Al Chile, I should let you know that this conversation was produced by Denise Couture with help from Avery Kleinman and edited by Miranda Fulmore. You can learn more about them and the whole team online at the1a.org/staff. This program comes to you from WAMU, part of American University in Washington, distributed by NPR. Until we meet again, I'm Joshua Johnson. Thanks for listening. This is 1A.